Wow, that moment when, all eyes are upon you. If you would, take your Bible and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. And while you do that, I'm going to take a sip of water. Are one of these here for me? Okay. Mark chapter 16. I do count it a privilege and an honor to be up here today and to present God's Word. It is shocking to know that the Lord has allowed me to come this far and, Lord willing, continue and graduate and continue even further. This message is a message that I have preached before, but I've had to do a little bit of modification to it because in the preparation for preaching today, I've studied and came up with nearly 8 different sermons and, I never was comfortable with preaching, either one. And then I've stumbled across this one, and I just said, Lord, I know I preached it before. Is this what you would have me to preach? I do apologize. This is a message mainly for youth, youth, the teenagers and different things, but I don't know. Maybe it would be a blessing today. Somebody obviously could use it. I know it was a blessing in my heart and continues to be. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Oh, by the way, before I commence to reading, I do want to show appreciation toward my parents for allowing me to come to school and their love and support for my being here. I do not believe that I do believe that without their support, I don't know that I would have been this far. I appreciate the professors that have taken their time and studied, shown their lives. They've put their lives in their ministry for each of us, and to sit under their teaching, sit under their preaching. And just be able to take it all in. It's a blessing. And so Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we come across a very familiar passage. Noted as one of the Great Commission passages for missions. And it says, and he said unto them, this is Christ speaking to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. We do ask that you would continue to speak to each and one of our hearts and our lives. Thank you for the testimony of Brother Che. Lord, we do ask that you would help us to learn more from your word as the day continues as well in each one of the other classes. Lord, we do. I personally ask that you would just fill me with your spirit. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said. Fluently, and that it would be understood. Lord, I do ask that you would just continue to bless. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. In this context of this passage, we've come out of Mark chapter 16, where Christ, he's crucified. He died on the cross. He was crucified, and then he was buried, He had already been resurrection. He'd already been risen again, and he's speaking to the disciples. He's given them the what we call the Great Commission, and not to diminish foreign missions at all. I am a missions major, and I'm not opposed to foreign missions at all. But today in this message, I would like to encourage each and every one of us to continue in being a local missionary. A local missionary. If you're a Christian, you're a missionary. And every Christian is to be a missionary in their own way, in their own in their own location, I should say. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Strong words. And the challenge today is that you must tell the lost and dying world about Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross so that they can believe and be saved. Notice first, your responsibility as a missionary. Here in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You and I, as a local missionary, wherever we serve, are to go and to preach. To go and to preach. I think of the famous man, Paul Revere. I've got a little thing. I've done a little study on him. Paul Revere, back in December 21st, 1734, he was born, and he died May 10th of 1818. He was an American silversmith. He was also an early industrialist and a patriot in the American Revolution. He is most famous for alerting colonial militia of approaching British forces before the battle of before the battles of Lexington and Concord. Dramatized in Henry Wadsworth's Longfellow's poem, Paul Revere's Ride. Between 9 and 10 p.m. on the night of April 18th, 1775, Joseph Warren told Revere and William Dawes that the king's troops were about to embark in boats from Boston, bound for Cambridge and the road to Lexington and Concord. Warren's intelligence suggested that the most likely objectives of the regulars, the British soldiers' movements later that night would be the capture of Adams and Hancock, John Adams and Hancock. They would not worry about the possibility of regulars marching to Concord, since supplies at Concord were safe. But they did think their leaders in Lexington were unaware of the potential danger that night. Revere and Dawes were sent out to warn them and to alert colonial militias in nearby towns. I think a lot of us, when we think of Paul Revere, we think of what is known to be his famous statement, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" But if you study, he didn't necessarily say, "The British are coming." He didn't go riding on the horse, galloping through town, yelling, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" when it was supposed to be a secretive situation. So he went through, him and Dawes, they went through and went from door to door telling them, "The regulars are coming out. The regulars are coming out. They're coming into town. The regulars are coming." And much like they went to door to door, we should continue to go door to door. But the focus on this illustration was that Paul Revere was sent. He was sent by Joseph Warren. Joseph Warren told him, "You need to go do this. Go do this." And just as Paul Revere was sent, we're sent by a much greater, higher authority than Joseph Warren. We're told by Jesus Christ to go ye to all the world and preach the gospel. Brother Charles Spurgeon continues to go on. He says, "You will never make a missionary of the person who does not know a good... You will never make a missionary of the person who does no good at home. He that will not serve the Lord in the Sunday school at home will not win children to Christ in China. And the challenge in this point is that you must go out and put the labor into preaching the gospel to your community. I must go out and continue to put the labor in preaching the gospel to my community. I think of the illustration it was already given, Brother Timothy and Brother Timmy Macon, told of two souls that were saved yesterday at Emmanuel Baptist Church. That is a product of going out soul winning. And it still works. And we shouldn't stop. We need to continue that. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're when each time visitation comes along, you're thinking, man, I've got so much to do. I've got things in this class to study for, things in that class to study for. I know I consider those things myself as well, but we are told to go and to preach the gospel. We shouldn't belabor that point. We shouldn't, we should go whenever visitation time comes around for your local church, whenever visitation time comes around whenever you're driving around and you're stopping at a gas station or something, you should never belabor preaching the gospel to those souls. So, your responsibility is to go and to preach the gospel. Secondly, your message. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 46. Luke 24, verse 46. This is Jesus speaking again. It says, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." As a local missionary, we have a message. You have a message. Just like Paul Revere going through saying the regulars are coming into town. That was his message. We have a message. We have God's Word. And that is our message. And in God's Word, it tells specifically, as it's noted here in Luke 24, verse 46, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer." Our message is, first of all, the crucifixion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How He came to earth. He performed many miracles. He made quite a statement. And He died on an old rugged cross so that He could pay the price. He could pay the sin debt for you and I. That He could pay the sin debt for Brother Che. So that He could pay the sin debt for those souls who came to know Christ yesterday at church. How amazing, how wonderful a sacrifice that was. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were sinners, by the way, you and I, we're still sinners. We still have the sin nature within us. But But if you know Christ as your personal Savior, you're a redeemed sinner. But our message is to tell of the crucifixion of our Savior. Secondly, we should not leave Him on the cross. We need to tell of the resurrection of our Savior. Now, this coming weekend is what we consider, what we call Easter Sunday. And it is to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 46 of Luke chapter 24, it says, "And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." What would salvation be without the resurrection of Christ? He'd just be another man otherwise. You go to a tomb in Israel and you'll find that it's empty. You'll go ask a Buddhist, "Where is Buddha?" They'll tell you he's still dead. You go ask a Hindu, what is that object that he's made? What has it done for him in his life? He'll say nothing. You ask him why? Because it's an inanimate object. It's dead. But Christ, He's risen. 1 Corinthians 15:4. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 real quickly. First Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." This is Paul speaking. "Which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Christ is risen.
Amen.
By the way, this is another, this whole section here, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is another example of the message that we should present. But Christ, we need to tell of Christ's crucifixion, Christ's resurrection. We also need to let them know how they can be saved, how they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. What does this mean, Christ dying and rising from the dead the third day? We need to preach the repentance of the sinner in Luke 24 and verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name. We need to stress to those we come across that they need to repent. After all, if you're saved here, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, there was a time when you had to come to that repentance. Repentance is simply coming to the knowledge and apologizing, saying, "I'm sorry for my sin. You've genuinely changed your mind from the state that you were going in, that sin. Realizing that Christ did die on the cross for your sins. Realizing that Christ did rise the third day to show His great power and glory. To show that He is a Savior, the Savior. The repentance of the sinner. John chapter 3 and verse 36. Says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John chapter 3 and verse 16 is a passage that's well known to us. I remember when I was a child, my dad, when I was really young, that was one of the very first verses that I've learned. I remember my dad sitting down with me I remember the color of the paper. It was yellow college ruled paper from a notepad. And we wrote down double line big because I was a kid. Okay. And John 3:16. We taped it on the wall in my room. And I saw it every time I left the room. And of course, I had to come in the room because I had to sleep that night. And I always had my toys in there. But every time we left the room, I saw it. It was there to remind me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I know I'm preaching to fellow college students. I don't mean to put myself above anybody here. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, God loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose on the third day to show that He could save you. And you need to come to repentance. You need to believe on Him and receive Him as your personal Savior before it's too late. Why? Because the very next part of the message that we need to be presenting as Christians is the return of Christ in the rapture. John chapter 14 and verse 1. I'm taking John, the Gospel of John class with Pastor Camp, and we just hit this verse today. It's very sobering. These words that Christ says. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Very powerful words. Many messages have been preached just on these four verses alone. I will not take the time to go through all that. But the return of Christ in the rapture. He says in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." He says, "I will come again." It's a definite fact. It's a definite statement. It's not a "I probably might could supposedly come again." He says, "I will." That's a promise. And guess what? If you're saved, you know Christ as your personal Savior, He'll receive you and me to Himself. First Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I want to be an encouragement this morning and obey that scripture passage where it says, "Comfort one another with these words." If you know Christ this morning as your personal Savior, Christ is coming again. But why delay in telling others that He is coming again? Others that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Because if He is coming again and they're not saved, they're not going to go. We need to tell them. So we see your responsibility is to go and to preach the gospel. Your message is the crucifixion of the Savior, the resurrection of the Savior, the repentance and remissions of the sinner, and the remission and forgiveness of his sins, and the return of Christ and the rapture. Will you go and spread this message? Will you go and tell others about Christ, what He's done for you and your heart and life? I say if you've done otherwise, it's pretty selfish. Thirdly, we look at your authority. The authority given to you. Remember, as a child, my parents, if I didn't do what they said, well, there was consequences. I remember one time we were in the neighborhood we were living. We weren't allowed to go. We weren't allowed to go down into some woods behind our house. And because there's a river back there and slippery mud, and it's sort of in the city limits, so there were a lot of people that would hang around down in the woods, and that, you know, could hurt people. And as a kid, we weren't allowed to go there. But as a kid, I always wanted to challenge my parents' words. I always wanted to ask myself, why? Why can't I go down there? Why should I stay, you know, up here where I'm supposed to? And I remember one day I did. I went down there. I followed some friends of mine, by the way. Usually when in sinning against what you're told, there's people, there's influences. But I went down there and I disobeyed my parents. Came back up, and there was a rude awakening. I had a dad waiting at the door with a belt in his hand, and he's slapping it. And I knew it was coming. As much as I cried and complained, it didn't help. But we, just as my parents were my authority then, they're still my authority now. Just as the faculty and staff here at this school are yours and mine authority. I hear the dean of students say, that's right. Christ is our authority. The Holy Spirit is our authority. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace unto you, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Christ said, even so send I you. Our authority is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're told. If we didn't see that in the first point, we see that now. Our authority is Christ. And if we disobey that authority, certain consequences will arise. We may not know what they are, but they will come. Are you obeying authority today? I'm not just talking about whether it's your parents or school. Are you obeying Christ and the Holy Spirit who lives within you? To go and preach the gospel to every creature. Your power also comes from the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Scripture says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Your power comes from Christ and the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 even says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high." He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Your power is Christ and the Holy Ghost. They'll be with you. Christ said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So what are you afraid of? What are we afraid of? Oh, they might slam doors on us every now and then. They might spit on us every now and then. One of the members of my home church said that he was on visitation one day, and he came across this door. He came up on this door that it was the main door was open. The screen door was shut. He knocked on the door. A lady came up. She just stood there. He said, "I'm from Northside Baptist Church, and I'm here to hand out invitations to our church and also hand out the gospel." And she had something in her mouth, and she, you know, blurted out, "I'm eating my breakfast." And about that time, Cheerios and things just come flying across the screen door. You may get Cheerios in your face. But your power comes from the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Your goal, lastly, as a local missionary, your goal is not only to go and to preach the gospel and to tell of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and their repentance, and their forgiveness, and the return of Christ, but your goal is to disciple and to diligently train. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 says, "Go ye," this is Christ speaking again, says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He says, "Lo, I'm with you always." But your goal is to disciple and diligently train those new converts. The two that have gotten saved yesterday at Emmanuel, no doubt will go through some sort of discipleship training. It's just a blessing to see that occurrence. I had the opportunity doing my internship with Pastor Jay at Every Nation Baptist Church in the summer of 2010 to disciple a man by the name of James Chambers. Brother Josh Wagar, he knows this man. I don't know what's going on with him so far. But before the summer ended, he had to go to Durham, and I haven't heard any more from him since. But I had the opportunity to disciple him. He was a new convert. And it's amazing to see he was growing. He really was. The material that was given to me to go through, it was in systematic form and everything. But to go through the Bible one-on-one and sit there and show this man what it is to be a Christian, to live the Christian life, what it is to change some things in his life and to grow spiritually, mentally. That's our job too. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." when we as Christians, God's children, get a grasp on God's love and care for the sinful world in which we live, we will see God's mandate to us for missions. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We do thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach. I don't take it lightly. I ask that you would just bless. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.